for your body to sit down, and we're going to get really started tonight. I'm so excited about the message, and I really am very thankful for all of you coming out and being a part of the teamwork here tonight, the ministry, the school ministry. And I'd like to start by reading a scripture in Zechariah, chapter 9, and this is not included in the notes, but I felt like it was a word of knowledge. You know, I like to give myself to the ministry gifts of the Holy Spirit. Before we come into group settings like this, I say, Lord, would you speak a word in season? And God said, yes, this is a word in season for some of you here tonight, that God wants you to hear this promise and to really, really believe it. And so in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12, there is a scripture that says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will restore double for your former prosperity to you. And I thought about this, what is a prisoner of hope? And God said, this is what I want my people to know, is that a prisoner of hope is someone who refuses to stop hoping in God. Amen. That's what a prisoner of hope is. Someone who refuses to stop hoping in God. No matter how bad the circumstances are, you know, you think about God with Abraham, how God had given Abraham such a powerful promise. And I really believe this church has God's hand, God's seal of approval upon it. And therefore, the Bible says that because God's hand is upon this church, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. That's what God said. And then he also told me this, that it may sound very simple, but if we say we have hope, hope is really, what is it? It's a constant positive attitude that no matter what's currently happening, that things are going to change for the positive. No matter what's currently happening in your life, things are going to change for the better. And Satan cannot defeat a person who refuses to stop hoping in God. Isn't that a powerful promise? And I really believe this is a word for all of you tonight that are coming, that God says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. That means we are captive to hoping. We are not stopping hoping, okay? God promises this, that he will restore double whatever we have lost. That's here in the scripture. Whatever we have lost as far as our prosperity, if you've gone through, yep, if you've gone through any kind of defeat or circumstances, the loss of money, the loss of friends, God wants you to hear this word of hope tonight. This is a word of knowledge, okay? Does everybody have one of your lesson plans here tonight? Everybody have one? Otherwise, we'll pass them out. If everyone has one, anybody doesn't have one, lift up your hand. If somebody doesn't have one, okay, we'll get those to you. All right. If you would write this word down, okay, this is not on the lesson. This is totally outside of the box right now. This is called a word of knowledge. This is a gift of the Spirit. And this is a word of knowledge for this church and for those in this church. Okay, so I'm stepping out of the box here and the structured developing good habits part two. This is your free part, okay? This is what God throws in. It's a little blessing. He says, I just want to throw in a little free part here, okay? And he says this to you. He says, this is the promise, and he wants you to hear it. Everything that the devil has taken from you, and please hear this. This is from God. Everything that the devil has taken from you, financially, emotionally, physically, God says he is promising to restore double your former prosperity to you. That's what he says. And he told me to tell you, he said, If you want to be critical or grouchy or hopeless, you know, that's your choice, but you can choose to be happy. You can choose not to be stimpy. You know, you can choose not to be critical, because if you become a prisoner of hope, you won't be snippy. You won't be grouchy, okay? You won't be unhappy or critical, because God will give you hope. And hope never stops blessing you. It just continues to be something in your heart. Go, you know, I'm going through this hard time, but that doesn't mean it's going to last, okay? So just hear that, okay? Just hear that and receive that from the Lord, all right? Okay, let's pray tonight and let's really get into the word. Father God, we thank you for your word, that word of knowledge, Father, that word of wisdom, that word from you. We thank you, Lord, that every hungry heart will receive that word tonight. Every person, Lord, that has gone through loss, every person that has taken a real bad mishap, they've gone through relationship issues or financial losses or health problems. Father, I thank you that according to Zacharias, you said our prosperity shall be returned to us in a double portion. And so I pray that each person would stand on that word daily as they come to you in prayer. Father, as they stand on your promise, that they will receive it. And Father, as they stand faithfully before you and remind you of your word, we pray that faith would grow in them, that faith would be released in them, and that it would continually mushroom and grow in their spirit man, and that they would receive the promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That's a promise from God. Tonight we're going to talk about Developing Good Habits Part 2 and Handling Criticism. Okay, this is a very important thing to handle in ministry. I don't think there's any more important topic to discuss than how to handle criticism, because this is the thing that causes more people to really go down and to be defeated than anything else. Every one of us will have times when we are criticized. It's just part of life. It's life. Sometimes fairly, but more often unfairly. And this creates in us, and I can testify from my personal life, it creates stress. Certainly, constructive criticism is okay. I mean, you know, sometimes we need to be evaluated, or our life needs to be looked at, and we need to have some constructive criticism, and that's helpful, and it's even needed in order to grow. But if you know someone has your best interest involved in mind, right? If you know someone really loves you and has your best interests at heart, they can illuminate an area in your life where you could improve. And that's something that we should always be open to, especially if we know that person really cares about us and they do have our best interest in mind. But most often, and I'm going to talk about this mostly, okay? Most criticism, so the first one is constructive criticism is helpful, even needed in order to grow, but most criticism is not given in a spirit of blessing. That's what I found. It's not. Unfortunately, it's not. It's not given in a spirit of blessing. Most criticism is based, and number three says, it's based on competitive spirit. And it really has its roots in jealousy. So criticisms are a reflection sometimes of the hurts that are within a person. Most often, okay? Criticism is a reflection of the hurts. Criticism that hurts the worst is frequently undeserved, right? I mean, that's the kind that really hurts, when it's undeserved and you know you didn't deserve it and you really, really, you know, you were really trying your best, but so-and-so just was jealous or they were competitive and they wanted somehow to pull you down to help make them feel better. And so instead of feeling that God can do something similar for another person, why people criticize usually, and this is really why they usually criticize, is because they feel like, you know, they can't believe God for that very same thing to happen to them. They don't see it. In other words, instead of feeling that God can do something for them similar to what's happening to that person over there that they're jealous and critical of, they want to pull that person down and hurt them, okay? Because that's what happens when jealousy rises up. Jealousy is, the Bible actually says, jealousy is crueler than a grave. Isn't that interesting? Jealousy is crueler than the grave. Now, that's wow. That means it's more powerful, it's more evil than death. In fact, if you really look at the life of Jesus Christ, the thing that pulled him down the most was jealousy. And that's really why all the Pharisees were critical, is because they were jealous of him. And they were envious, it says, and they wanted him to be put to death because they were jealous. So we've got to remember that insecurity can be very deadly. And so why should we be critical or cynical or snippy when we can believe God for the same blessings that other people have? They can come our way. You know, I realized this the other day when I was thinking about God and how some people, they give God such a bad name. I feel bad about this because God is so good and he's so generous and he's always, you know, he always wants to bring us good news. He really loves us and he's here to bring us the good news. In fact, that was his whole mission statement. I've come to proclaim the good news. That's what he said. To preach the gospel to the poor. I've come to tell people good news. Well, some Christians, it seems like all they want to hear is the bad news. It's maybe because it comforts them, maybe because they just don't want to believe for anything. They don't want to use their faith to believe for anything, and so they just get comfortable, and then they have to find an excuse, okay? And that's usually what happens. They find an excuse for their lazy behavior, and so they start to get lazy, and then they get critical, and they, oh, well, God's not going to, he can't bless you. You know, you can't be blessed, you know. And I thought to myself, well, what kind of God wouldn't want to bless his kids? I mean, that's a terrible God. What kind of God is that who wouldn't want to give his children blessings? Who wouldn't want his child to be provided for and all of their needs be met? I mean, really, that's an ugly God. It's not the God that I know. I mean, God says he will supply all of our needs according to his riches. He will take care of his kids. He loves us. He will provide healing, blessings, and financial breakthroughs and emotional healings because he wants us to be tremendous witnesses of his goodness. Okay, now it doesn't all happen instantaneously, but it does happen. And that's the good news, is that hope is always within us, is that God is a God of hope. And so we're prisoners of hope. And we get up and every morning, hey, we go through some hard times. That doesn't mean it's going to stay. It's come to pass. And we grow and everyone grows and we learn how to believe. If we wouldn't have challenges, how would we ever grow in our faith? Okay, if we wouldn't have challenges, how would we grow? Okay, if everything was always handed to us, if you would always give everything to your kids, right? You give it right away, every time, every time, every time, every time. What would they turn into? They would be spoiled, okay? And so God knows just enough how to help us. He just takes us a little bit so we don't get spoiled and bratty and snippy and critical. And he gives us what we need. And then he'll say, wow, you know, I want to give them just, I want to soak the blessing that this one's really being faithful. And God sees that like you would a child, okay? Like you see your child really growing and eager to learn and eager to grow. What do you feel? Like, oh, I want to bless these people. I want to bless them. Well, that's the way God feels. You see, God is a good God. And I think we got to clear that agenda because this world is really, and religion is really messed up. Religion is, and that's what Tom and I, Pastor Tom and I are here to proclaim the good news to Milwaukee that Jesus Christ is a good God. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is a good God, and he loves his children. And I'm telling you, the more successful that you are, the more criticism is going to come your way. When you start believing those kind of things and you start saying, you know, God is good and he wants to bless his kids, he wants to help them, he wants to make them such a strong witness so that even people would be jealous, okay, so that that would provoke them to jealousy so they would want it. You see what I'm saying? They would want that kind of blessing. They would be drawn to the blessing, all right? And so God will raise you up. He'll promote you. He'll cause you to prosper. As your soul prospers, the Bible says, as your soul, that means as you want to glorify him and you want to serve him. In fact, the Bible says, if you obey God and if you serve God, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in contentment. That's true. But the key here, this is the key, you got to learn how to handle the criticism. Because when you start to get bitter and sour and mad and angry and nasty and you just cancel the blessing. All right? Because, you know, I'm telling you, nasty people don't have good favor with other people. You got to learn how to get a hold of those evil, that nasty emotions, those bad emotions. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Promotion, say you get a promotion at the office. Okay, all of a sudden the critics are coming out. You know, Have you been there? You get the promotion at the office, you get the promotion at the job, you get the promotion in the church or whatever. The critics come out. So the key to handling criticism that I have found, because I've dealt with it myself many times, you never take it personally. Don't take it personally. I mean, I've had to do this over and over and over again. Don't take it personally. If a critic wasn't hurting you, they would hurt someone else. Because they're critics. The problem is within the critic. Okay? That's the problem. It's within the critic. And so many times it's not even about you, even though it's directed at you. If the critic weren't hurting you, they'd be hurting somebody else. So it's something inside this critical person that they have to deal with. So number six, this is always celebrate others' success. Because if God will do it for them, he'll do it for you. Keep that in mind. Can you keep that in mind and always hear that run around in your head? If God can do it for them, he can do it for me. He can do it for me. Because the key is, if we can't rejoice with other people, we're not going to get where we want to be. Because we're going to start to get a negative, sour, unhappy attitude. We won't have a smile on our face. We won't walk around and do what I said. Remember those two key things? Look people in the eye, be confident, look them in the eye, believe in them, and smile at them and say God loves them. You know, we won't see their value, okay? So celebrate other people's victories. Now I want to tell you a little something, a story that I found in the Old Testament. If you're going to become better, you'll need to know how to deal with these critical people. In the Old Testament, I found out, in the Old Testament, there were these people that were called slingers. Now, isn't that hilarious? They were slingers. You know, all right. When an enemy attacked a city, the slingers were there. Their first priority was to pry the stones off the wall that was protecting the city, and they would then sling those stones into the city's wells, all right? And the attackers knew if they would clog the wells with stones and interrupt the flow of water, eventually the people within the walls would have to come out without any protection. They'd have to come out and they'd get them, okay? Now, I think that's a fascinating, fascinating story because those walls, you know, those represent your person, okay? And something about those walls, those person, they'll take things about you, okay? They'll take things off of you, and then they'll throw them in the well. And the wells are the places where we get refreshment, right? Okay? And the Bible says, in your inner man is a well springing up. It's a well, all right? And so what they'll do is they'll take something about you and they'll throw it at you in hopes that this wellspring of living water that is within you will start to get clogged up. That's a spiritual parallel. Okay? And so what the critic is they're slingers. I'm glad we don't live in slinger. Okay. But slinger has hope, right? They're free from the slingers, okay? In the Old Testament, remember that these slingers, they wanted to try to kill. That's what they were going to do. So what do we not do to critics, okay? This is what we don't do, and I wrote down some things. What not to do with critics. Don't allow self to take revenge. So they start throwing stones at you, right? Okay, they start throwing the words at you, at your life, you know, and this could even be relatives, this could even be friends, this even could be family, okay? So critics, well, remember, this is what not to do with critics, not allow self to take revenge. And then, number two, don't sink down to their level. Don't sink down to their level and talk badly about them, because all you'll be doing is doing, you're going to be a slinger then. You just turned into the same thing. Two slingers. Wonderful, wonderful blessing. Never be a slinger. Okay, so number three, don't get defensive or try to prove that you're right and your critic is wrong, because then you look dumb. Okay? Don't get defensive. All right? I know I've had to learn some of these things too, because the immediate thing that you want to do is try to defend yourself and either sling back or try to defend yourself. And there is something that you can do that's right, and this is what to do. What to do about critics is that you've got to learn to shake it off. And I'm going to show you what Jesus taught us in Matthew 10, verse 14. This is true. He taught the people how to do this. He taught his disciples how to do this. And I want you to do it too, all right? Please understand, this is a very important thing. Pastor Tom and I have had to deal with this over and over again, and this is what we do. We shake it off. In Matthew 10, 14, it says, "If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or that town." Okay? Now, some of you have got to learn to shake it off. Shake it off, shake it off, just shake it off, okay? Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he was bit by a viper, he had to learn to shake it off. He literally just shook it off. What do? You just, let's put your arms out like this. I mean, you just shake it off. You shake it off. I mean, you literally have to shake it off. You just shake it off. Just say, okay, this isn't touching me. I'm not going to be moved by this. You shake it off. And number two, you keep your eyes on the prize. What is the prize? It's using your gift for the glory of God. Because that's what the enemy is after. He's after your gift and he's after your character. Those two things. He's after your gift, because that's what a minister is all about. It's about giving his gift to God or her gift to God, and about using godly fruit, the character of God, the fruit of the Spirit. So they're out to, the slingers are out to get your gift and to sour your well, your character. So your well is all stuffed up. And you know, usually you become really sluggish when this happens. Have you ever felt this kind of weird sluggishness? You don't know why. It's hard to get out of bed. It's hard to walk around. It's because your well has stones in it. That's why. Your well has stones in it. It's all stuffed up. And it should be a wellspring of life springing up. Okay, but these stones have lodged within your heart and your emotions, and you've got to just shake it off. That's right, shake it off. And once you shake it off, it becomes like this heaviness lifts off of you, and you say, I'm not going to even receive this. I'm just not going to receive it. You stay focused, number three, on your goal, which is the goal of glorifying Jesus Christ. I mean, anyone who wants to glorify Jesus Christ is going to be a winner. I mean, if you want to honor God with your life, you honor him with your gifts, you honor him. I mean, there's no stopping you. There is no stopping you, because that's who God is for. He's for those who stay focused on that goal, which is to honor God. So now Jesus knew the disciples were going to suffer a lot of rejection, and not everyone would receive them. And so he gave them that wonderful word. And let's say it all together in Matthew 10, 14. Let's say it out loud so we realize what we're going to have to do. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. Wow. Wow. Now, that means some of you are going to be going to your Thanksgiving dinners. I don't know if you're not here at church. I want you to come to church if you can, okay, because this is not going to happen here. But if you're over with relatives and you're traveling far distances and you're going to have to go in, sometimes you're going to have to shake the dust off as you leave. Because it's just, you got to shake it off. You got to shake it off. That's why the cool part, I just love what we're going to do for Thanksgiving. I just love that because, you know, we're welcoming people to come to our house for dinner. And it's going to be positive because we've got a positive message. Amen? We do. We've got a positive message. And so I even talked to my family about coming over to our church for dinner. And I think it's so cool that we're going to do this. It's just really fun. It's going to be exciting to welcome people. I got a phone call today from six people over on the south side that said, hey, I love what you're doing with the children's ministry. We want to come out and find out what you're doing. We want to be a part of this. In fact, I would like to be able to move out your way. We live way on the south side, but my husband is not there yet, but he wants to come to church on Thanksgiving to see and check this place out. And so look at what God's doing. He's bringing people in from the north, south, east, and the west. You know what? When you lift up God's children and you raise up the children's ministry, God loves that. I mean, look at why Disney World and McDonald's succeed. It's because they were able to bless the children and the families were coming together. That's why we've got to bless the kids around here, okay? And so, you know, whatever happens, you know, in your family on Thanksgiving or Christmas, sometimes you got to just shake the dust off your feet and you got to say, I'm not going to let anything steal my joy. Because I heard a message a long time ago that I'll never forget. If the devil can't steal your joy, he can't take your goods. And I want you to say that to me. If the devil can't steal my joy, he can't take my goods. All right? So don't become defensive or worried. Just shake the dust off of your feet. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let God be your vindicator. Okay? Don't become defensive. You know, try to defend your position. Don't become defensive or worried. Just shake the dust off your feet. In fact, it's interesting how just recently, just a couple weeks ago, one of my own relatives called to say to me, well, we've got this opportunity for your husband to be able to come over in the Lutheran church and be a part of the Lutheran church here. And, he could be an administrator over there. What do you think about that? And I said, I was so tempted to get defensive. And you know what? I just kindly said, well, no, thank you. We really love the people that we're working with here. We're family, you know. But you see, all the kind of stuff can happen. You've got to learn how to shake the dust off your feet. You've got to know that you're called. You've got to know that the devil, he doesn't like things that you're doing. He's out to, all right, he'll do it any way he can. But the good part about it is he can't. He'll just shoot stones at you. He'll just shoot stones at you. And you know what? And that's the funny part, is that those stones that were meant to kill you will only bless you. They will. They'll only bless you and make you stronger. You know why? Because when people see the level of faith that you're walking in and that you have God as your vindicator, they'll say there's something right about that situation. They're not getting defensive. They're not trying to fight the battles. They're not getting mean and nasty about anything. They're just calmly and sweetly pursuing their purpose. And that's what you need to do. Just calmly and sweetly, just keep pursuing your purpose. Keep focused. Don't let them get you off track. All right? Just calmly and sweetly pursue your purpose. Let God be your vindicator. That's 11. Let God be your vindicator. Okay, number 12, if you stay on the high road, God will fight your battles for you. That high road is what I said, just keep pursuing your goal and your purpose, all right? And then 13, don't let the stones of the slinger clog up your well. Sometimes I have learned that my response has to be when I'm going through a trial or a difficulty, you've got to say, wait a second here. I'm better than this. I don't have to cow down to criticalness. I don't have to be moved by my emotions. I don't know how many times when the critics have come against me, I've just calmly and sweetly say, you know what? I'm bound. I cannot help but do what God's called me to do. You know? And you know what? When I do, I have such peace in my heart and such joy comes. Boy, stay full of joy. Okay, you can't be dwelling on that criticism. It'll make you feel sluggish and your well will be clogged up. So God is in control of our lives. I really firmly believe that. I know God can take care of us. I know he can. All right, there's tremendous freedom when you accept the fact that not everyone is going to like you. Really, you got to settle that in your heart. It's number 15. Tremendous freedom results when you accept the fact that not everyone is going to like you. 14 is we cannot keep everyone happy. We can't keep everybody happy. If we try, if you're always trying to cater to this person and make this one happy and make this one happy, you'll really be worn out. That's called what they call in psychological terms performance orientation. You're just... what can I do for you? You're like a robot, you know. And God doesn't want you to be a robot. He wants you to live out of the abundance of the flow of this well that's within you. It's like, I gotta love somebody, okay? I mean, I gotta love somebody. That's what I'm called to do. I've gotta love somebody. So the best thing to do when these slingers come is to ignore the slingers and stay focused. That's number 16. Ignore the slingers. In fact, God even gives you permission. Can you believe that? He gives you permission to ignore the slingers. What did he say? If anyone doesn't welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home. Does God want you to stay around and sit there and take all that criticism, all that criticism, and just cater to their control and their manipulation? No, not at all. He doesn't want you to cater to their control and their manipulation, because the more people begin to try, if they see that you can be controlled, okay, then they'll want to do it more and more. Okay, they'll want to do it more and more. And so you've got to put the boundaries down. You've got to say, this is where I'm called, and this is what I'm going to do. Okay? You know, if you want to come my way, you come my way. Okay? You come my way. You be a part of Jesus Christ with me. You be a part of his plans. Be a part of his purposes. Be a part of his calling. Be a part of his will. You know, if people... The worst thing that you can do in a husband and wife relationship is always let someone just push you around. Okay? You've got to learn to be who you are. You've got to learn to know who you are, and so that people can respect that. If you don't know who you are, people will run all over you. And that's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to know who you are, and he wants you to be secure in who you are. All right? And most people, they only live to try to please other people. They don't want anyone. This is the truth. They don't want anyone to say one little negative word about them. They're so afraid of that. You just, oh, what if they would say something bad about me? We certainly wouldn't want that. Well, that's bound to happen. It's going to happen. Settle it in your heart. It's going to happen in a marriage. It's going to happen in a life. You know, if I would be so concerned about what everyone would say about me here, I would be a mess. Because there's thousands of people with different ideas and different opinions, but I have to know what God said, and I've got to know what God's called me to do, and I've got to live in love and just live out of that inner man, that bubbly love and hope and joy that comes up inside of me to help people. And that's what I live by, you know, and I just leave the critics to God, okay? Sure, you know, it's good to want to love people and want to help them, and yes, it's good to please people, but not to live to please people. That's a different story, okay? So there's some people, believe it or not, and I know you believe it, they're impossible to please. I mean, virtually impossible to please. And you're spending your life just going, and they're not going to be pleased. You know why? Because you're not the problem. It's the critic in them that's the problem. You see? There's a different thing. It's the critic in them. That's what's causing them to be like that. And so you could do everything right or virtually everything right, and they're still going to criticize you. Okay? And so I have learned that this is what the Bible says in Proverbs, a gossiping, fault-finding tongue, it's like a venomous snake. Ooh. So that's why when the Apostle Paul was bit by a viper, that's representative. He was by a venomous snake. It was like he was bit by a gossiping, fault-finding tongue. And what was his response? He shook it off. He shook it off. That's a tremendous symbol. That's a parallel, spiritual parallel for us. What we've got to do with criticism, we've got to shake it off. Now, if someone says something bad about my family members or something bad about you or bad about the church, you know what I say? I say, I don't really want to hear that. I really don't want to hear that, because that's like poison and I really don't want to hear it. And the interesting thing about it is that the more and the higher you go in God, the more that you're going to have to state those things. I really don't want to hear that. Let's move on. You know, that's all you have to say. I really don't want to hear that. Let's talk about something else. How simple is that? All right? So the better you are, the more critical spirits are going to come against you. The more, and you know why? Because the better that you are, the more holy that you are and righteous that you are, the more it causes the inner man of someone else to get convicted. All right? All right? And this is what I found. They'll be convicted about your purity of heart, but they won't know what to do with it. All right, so they'll get convicted of your purity. Your heart's pure, you're honest, you're loving, you're kind, you're really good. And sometimes people can't handle that. So I even had someone in the youth group, I mean, this is really funny. Someone left the youth group, you know why? Because they said she's too nice. All they were saying is, well, I can't live up to that, or I don't want that to minister to me because I'm mean and ugly and I want to be mean and ugly by myself, so I'm going to go. You know what I'm saying? And so you've got to understand that when people are jealous, they're showing jealousy, and that's just a part of their inner man. Now, you don't have to get critical back. You just do this. You just keep focused on God. You keep focused on God, all right? In fact, there's a promise in Job chapter 36, verse 11. It says, if we obey and serve God, we will spend our days in prosperity and our years in contentment. Isn't that a powerful promise? That is powerful. So stay true to your gift when going through criticism. Stay true to your gift. Now, I have to tell you, in all honesty, that we have the best leaders here that I have ever seen and ever experienced in my life. Some of these fine leaders that we have, all of you here, and particularly I'm referring to a lot of the small group, the life group leaders and the serving team leaders. I'm telling you, you guys are tops. All right. And I believe this. I believe that we cannot spend our emotional energy trying to figure out why somebody doesn't like us. Or why, you know, somebody said something about so-and-so and why they didn't like this that we did. You know, we just have to stay focused on our responsibilities and be happy, okay? Because that smile and that joy is a great witness for other people. And that long time carrying what people think is just, it's emotionally draining. It's just emotionally draining. You know, just that one word. They say that, isn't this interesting? They say that it takes almost 10 good words to overcome one negative word that people say. Why is that? I really prayed about that, and the Lord says, because we don't know how to shake it off. We just don't know how. We don't know how to handle the critic, all right? And that's why it's so valuable. Jesus was criticized. You're in good company. Jesus was criticized for healing a man on the Sabbath day. That's one incident, very clearly. He was criticized for healing someone. It's like saying, Jesus was too nice. He was too nice on the Sabbath. He was just too nice. Healing a man on the Sabbath. And then number two, going to dinner with a tax collector. Whew. You know, reaching out to someone who was rejected. He was criticized for those things. Number three, he was criticized for helping a woman in need, someone who was about to be stoned. Wow. He was too nice, wasn't he? And that's why he got the sling. And so we've got to remember, Jesus even said this in Luke 6:26. He said, woe to you when all men speak well of you. Now, was that a scripture or what? I remember when I heard that scripture when I was like a teenager. I was probably 16 or so. You know, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was about 15, somewhere in there. It was a revolutionary moment in my life where Jesus Christ came and I was filled with the Spirit. I probably was born again when I was younger because I just, you know, just grew up with God. But I mean, about 15 or 16, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I mean, that's what I really said. God, I give my life to you. I give my calling, everything that I am. Okay, so I'm a young woman of faith, and I was living for about 2 years born again, and I'm thinking, I've got to just, you know, be so good to everybody. And so I was being good to everybody, And everybody, you know, we were having good times. People were being good to me, and I was experiencing such joy in my relationship with God. And then I read that scripture, and I thought, well, nobody's speaking evil of me. I thought, maybe I'm not really living the Christian life. And I realized that living the Christian life isn't just be nice to everybody. Sometimes it's taking a stand for righteousness when nobody else is. All right? And that's pretty unpopular. And so then I realized, you know, I probably wasn't as holy as I needed to be. And I was just kind of being a good girl, you know, the good old boy kind of thing. Ah, yeah, he's a good boy, you know. Just doesn't make waves, just real easy going, you know, it's nice, nice, nice girl, nice guy, you know, didn't make waves. And I thought, you know what, I should be making some waves. I should be challenging some things that aren't right in my life. I should be, you know, standing up for what is right and holy, you know. And I began to do that, and that's when I got the flack. Because when you begin to make the waves and you stand up for righteousness and you say, you know, this is wrong and I'm not going to do this and this is, you know, I'm not going to go this place and go here and do this because I don't believe in that. Well, you know, then that's when you get challenged. So the long story of it is that I began to really be a Christian and I realized that I could be free from critics. And I read this promise, turn with me to Isaiah 53. Verse 17, and this really helped my life. In Isaiah 54, I realized that this is the heritage and a promise that I can stand on when I'm believing for the righteousness of God to be accelerated in my life. I want to be free from a shame-based nature because that's what I was rooted in. That's why I was always trying to be so perfect, is because I was rooted in a shame-based nature, and I felt like I was so guilty all the time. And so I just was so overwhelmed with this guilt. When God lifted that off of me, I began to see that no matter what I did or what I didn't do, God was still going to bless me because my heart was really wanting to serve him. That's a really big thing. I want you to get that again. Okay? When your heart wants to serve the Lord and God sees that, he'll protect you from a lot of stuff. Because he sees the willingness of your heart. He sees your intentions, the intentions, the Bible says, of your heart to glorify him. And he'll tolerate a lot when that happens. So number 17, verse 17 of Isaiah 54, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, this righteousness, this security, this triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Amen. Now, a lot of people claim that promise, and we're going to close here in just a minute. They claim that promise. They say, no weapon formed against me can prosper. But they don't realize that that's a heritage. That's a promise for who? The servants of the Lord. The servants of the Lord. Okay? So remember, I'm going to bring you back to that scripture. It really comes right down to it. Those that obey God and serve him. All right? Serve him. What are you talking about? What are the things that's, what is it? What does it take to serve God? Coming to church faithfully on Sunday morning? Being accountable to come through those doors with a good smile, a good attitude, a smile on your face, a little bit of joy in your step, you know, giving to people, loving them, not coming in all, you know, like, you know, this is bad, I'm bad, I'm tired, I'm grouchy, I'm critical. What's that going to do for anybody? Is that serving anybody? No. You can do that on the phone on Wednesday if you need to, you know. Call a counselor, you know, call me or something, you know. But don't come to church expecting that everyone's going to feel sorry for you. And so that's how that you're going to get pity. You know what? Rise up and have a good attitude and walk in those doors and say, I'm a servant of the Lord. And the God, and the Lord promised me this, as a servant of the Lord, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. You come against me, you're dealing with God. You come against me, you're dealing with mighty God. Better watch out. Better watch out who you're touching. All right? The Bible says you better watch out Because a prophet of God or a servant of God, you can't touch with them. You can't mess with them. It's a holy thing. Someone who's a spokesman for God, you don't mess with them. Someone who's a minister of God, a servant of God like you are, you don't mess with them. Okay? You're called, you're a part of Spirit Life Church. It's a holy vision. It's a calling from God that was birthed from the foundation of this world. It's a calling of God that's going to affect Milwaukee forever. It's going to change the complexion of Milwaukee. We're just starting. I mean, it's going to change the whole foundation of Milwaukee. You weren't called here. You weren't called here for nothing. You were called here to affect this whole Milwaukee area for an eternity. This is a vision, a servant of the Lord. That's who you are. I mean, and you don't mess with people like you. You've got a promise from God. No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, you shall show to be in the wrong. What does that mean? You're going to show them what to do. You're going to tell them off. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. That's not what it says. I'm going to tell them off. I'm going to show them in the wrong. Yeah. No, no. You know what that means? That means you, through your life, through your witness of serving God, it will show, it will reflect that they were wrong and that you were right. That's what that means. Okay, you will show. Oh, I love that. It says, you shall show to be in the wrong. That's saying your life is going to be a reflection of God's glory so much, they're going to know they were off base for criticizing you, for talking about you wrongly. That's God's vindication. And that comes as you keep a sweet spirit. So let's close with this. You can be free from critics by, number one, giving those people that are criticizing you to God. Just give them to the Lord. All right? Man, there'd be some people, including all my family, friends, and even some relatives that have not understood anything about what we do here. But does that mean that I get critical? Are you kidding? How are they going to know unless they have God reveal it to them? So you've got to know, you've got to give those people to God. God open their eyes. God show them the way. God reveal the truth to them so they can see. Give them to the Lord. Trust God with them. He'll take care of them. All right? You put them in God's hands and you just quit trying to change them. You know, just put them in God's hands. Back off and certainly don't become a slinger like them. Don't sling at them just because they're slinging at you, okay? Number two, quit trying to be the keeper of the universe. Oh, my goodness. I mean, the keeper of the universe. I am keeping everybody in control, okay? I am going to handle this, okay? That is so weird. It's never going to work because you can't control everything. Oh, so quit trying to be the keeper of the universe and just give them to God. Just give them to God, all right? Number three, and I will add this. That doesn't mean you have to be close to them. Because especially if they're pulling you down, if they're someone, a relative is constantly criticizing you and saying something nasty about you, what does it say? Okay, everybody, come on, let's do it. Shake it off. We just got to shake it off. That means sometimes we just leave the premise, okay? We don't like aggravate the situation by trying to be a people pleaser and trying to do everything, because then they're going to think they're in control and you have no purpose and no plan and no, that's called enablement. Don't enable people. Please don't do that. Okay. You know who you are. You be strong. Say, I'm going to church whether you like it or not. I love Joan Ramey. I just love the stand that she's taking. She's going to church whether or not anybody in her family likes it or not. She's going to church. She's obeying God whether or not anybody cares. See, that's what you got to do with your family and relatives. And the people that don't understand, you just obey God. You just use your gift. You just keep on going. They say, well, why are you doing that? Why are you being faithful? Why are you doing that? Just use your gift. Use your gift to the glory of God. Let your character grow. Then God will show. He will show you off and prove that their judgments are wrong. Okay? But you've got to be strong enough to just stay faithful in God, faithfully pursuing the vision. And don't let anybody distract you. That's one thing that I do. I have such focus. I focus, man. I keep my eyes focused on the goal. I don't let anything distract me. I've always been that way since I was young. Just stay focused. So-and-so, this may be doing this. You know, it used to bother me when I was in the classroom and people would, you know, you're sitting in a classroom and everybody would be walking in and all the heads would be going like this, you know, who's coming in? Who's coming in? I'd be going, I'm listening to the teacher. I want to get a good grade. You know what I mean? I mean, I stay focused. I've got something to achieve, okay? And that's number four. If you want, getting down there, it leads into number four. I know with number three, I'll say it quickly. It's be grateful. Just be grateful for what you've got. And number four, be eager. Be eager to achieve. Some of you are just not eager enough to achieve. And it's important to have that achievement. I mean, I've always been that way. When I would go to school, I wasn't going to settle for a C or a B if I could make an A. I mean, I knew where my mind was. I knew that physics was not it. I just knew that, you know, I knew that wasn't the thing that I was going to excel in. But I knew that I could excel in certain things, and I'd do the very best I could in what I knew I was good at. And I'd be really good at it. So you've got to learn to achieve. Want to achieve something. Learn to want to learn, okay? Want to learn. Want to be better. Want to grow. How many of you say, I want to grow? All right. Well, that overwhelms the critics right there, okay? So what we're going to do tonight in these closing minutes is we're going to say, you know, one of the things that overcomes that critical thing is, like I said, it takes 10 compliments to overcome one criticism sometime. You know what? And so, there you go. And so what we're going to do is, this is a church, I believe, that is going to be so positive. And we're already pretty much there. And we're getting there. But we're going to be so positive with people that the minute they walk in those doors, they're going to go, I smell something different in here. I smell something different. Woo, what's this? This is good news around here, you know? I mean, this is not the doldrums. This is not, oh, God, you know. We're going to smell something different. And so what we're going to do is we're going to learn how to be encouragers. Continue what we did last week to encourage one another and build each other up. Instead of being a critic, we're practicing being just the opposite of what the world is. And I believe Milwaukee will be benefit from this exercise that we're doing tonight and that we keep doing in our life, okay? So I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Tom to take up the offering. Hallelujah.
Hey, let's give the Lord a big praise God for that.